Let's talk about where the Russia story is now. It's certainly been a public relations nightmare for the White House. Some are even using the word treason to describe the Trump campaign's now proven interest in cooperating with the Russians to damage Hillary Clinton. But could that interest be considered treason? NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg takes a look.
The headlines get more breathless by the moment.
Explosive and very fast-moving developments in the Russian meddling.
Major breaking news.
The very latest bombshell.
Breaking and stunning news in our...
The bombshell, this one, involving the president's son, his then-campaign manager Paul Manafort, and the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has Washington, pardon the pun, a Twitter. Here's Senator Tim Kaine, the former Democratic candidate for vice president.
We're now beyond obstruction of justice in terms of what's being investigated. This is moving into perjury, false statements, and even into potentially treason.
And here's Richard Painter, who served as the chief ethics lawyer in the George W. Bush administration.
The conduct of all three of them borders on the common understanding of treason, and the dictionary definitions of treason, which focus on the betrayal of one's country, in particular helping a foreign adversary against one's own country.
Painter acknowledges that the crime of treason is rarely charged in the United States for a variety of reasons. For one, the Constitution says there can be treason only in times of war or attempts to overthrow the government.
But we don't have a declared war. We just use other statutes, because most of what is treason would violate another statute anyway.
Like the espionage laws. Today, less dire laws are in play. Campaign finance laws that unequivocally bar taking anything of value from a foreigner, including opposition research. Here, Trump Jr., Kushner, and Manafort had a meeting with a Russian lawyer after an email exchange promising, quote, information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia. To that, the president's son replied, quote, I love it. In addition, the three could be in legal jeopardy if they made false statements during the FBI security clearance process for Kushner. Again, Richard Painter.
They've said over and over again, we did not collude with the Russians. And they did not collude with the Russians, I guess, like President Clinton did not have sex with that woman. But the difference is, this is a lie we care about. This is about our national security.
Using the word treason, however, can be a fraught affair, observes Yale Law School's Eugene Fidel. He notes that the crime of treason was so abused in England that it is the only crime defined in the Constitution. Not only is the definition narrow, but the Founding Fathers deliberately made it hard to prove. Conviction for treason requires the testimony of two witnesses to each overt act or a confession in open court. Fidel objects to the rhetorical use of the words treason and traitor today, including by President Trump during the campaign.
To immediately throw the treason card on the table, even in the context of mere political discourse, it has a kind of off-with-their-heads flavor to it.
And that, he contends, is exactly what the Founding Fathers wanted to avoid. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.